We got a special night tonight. Like I said, we're talking about recovering singleness this evening, and so most of you would know that we're not doing a talk as usual this evening. We're going to do a panel. We're going to have some stories from a few other folks this evening, and as much as I really do enjoy teaching, I love stuff like this, facilitating conversations and panels and stuff. Maybe even more. So we have three great folks that are coming up. Why don't y'all all come up? I'll introduce you briefly on your way out. Yeah, that's right. Give them a hand. Yes, yes, yes. All right. We'll just hand these out like ice creams. So this is Arnold Barlow. Here, actually, let me give you this one. Don't turn the mics on yet because they're still smacking against each other. Thank you, man. This is Tammy Lopez, Arnold Barlow, Jackie Lucas. You're full of applause tonight. I like that. So Tammy's on staff with us here. She she helped to run Camp All American for a long time and is working with Kids Hope USA, which some of y'all would know a little bit about. We talked about it some at our series last year. It was great ministry where folks from within our church get the opportunity to mentor and work with elementary school kids here in the area. Arnold Barlow is an elder here at Perimeter and has been here how long?
A while.
A minute. Roughly longer than 5 minutes. I was in Arnold's discipleship group at one point, and he was so kind to let me co-lead with him at one point as well, and we had a blast. The best group probably he's ever had. I mean, probably.
Because you were in it.
It was because you led it. Arnold has been just a great influence on me over the years and helped me learn how to do discipleship as well. And then Jackie Lucas is on staff with us at Perimeter as well. And who is it that you work with again? Some random guy.
Gordon Moore,
no. So Jackie is Randy Pope's administrative assistant. She is awesome. And so if you get the opportunity to interact with any of these folks, you will be truly blessed. But so I'm excited about all of y'all being here and talk to us a little bit about your stories this evening. And so I'm going to ask him a few questions a little bit later, but we're just going to start out hearing from them, hearing their stories a little bit. And so let me say this first. As I mentioned, I would rather talk about recovering singleness. I'd rather talk about recovering what God's idea in singleness is than embracing singleness, perhaps. I don't know if that strikes you as different at all or not. The Gospel Coalition put a blog out this week. Maybe some of y'all saw that, maybe you didn't. I try to click on just about everything they put out there and see what they have to say. It was four things that you need to know in your time of singleness. And they were all really good. It was really worthwhile. You can go scan through their website and find that. But the very first point, you know, we're coming into this week and I'm thinking, ooh, maybe they'll have something good to pass on. The very first point is singleness is a gift. How's that strike you? We all might say, yeah, okay, that's true. But I know when I was single and from other single folks that I've talked to, that sometimes the last thing you want to hear at the very beginning is, it's a gift. Embrace it. The reality is, even if it is, sometimes it's hard, is it not? And so we really want to look at through their stories and talking a little bit together. What's it look like to wrestle with God in the midst of that? What's it look like to reject the lies of the enemy in the midst of it? To do battle with the lies of the enemy in the midst of singleness, whether it's expected or not, whether it's longer than we expected or not. So that's sort of where we're going tonight. So we'll start out with just y'all sharing stories. I asked Arnold if he would start us out, so. What's your story, brother?
Sure. Well, a few months ago, Ben Lin asked me, how come they never let you speak to this group? And after tonight, you'll understand why. I have been single for a number of decades. In fact, you might be surprised to hear I was actually born single.
Mm.
And I just never got around to changing, and that's my story. But there is a little more to it. I always assumed that I would get married someday. And when I was in junior high or high school, I thought, okay, well, I'll wait until I'm like 22 or 23, because that sounds pretty old and pretty mature. And that was my operating hypothesis. Then I went off to college and got involved with the campus ministry, and the guy who was leading that was speaking one day, and he was saying, you will never have the opportunities for personal growth in your walk with God and learning how to minister to other people that you have at college. So why go pursuing relationships and trying to get yourself married or just dating and spending time that way when you can do that later, when there are other things that you can only do here? And so I thought, yeah, it sounds good to me, probably because I was kind of scared of girls anyway. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to focus on my walk with God and learning how to minister to other people, and I'm not going to date during college. So I basically didn't. And then I went overseas to work with a Christian organization in Eastern Europe, and I was there for several months, and then I started kind of noticing one particular girl, and I thought, oh, I guess my commitment expired, so I guess it would be okay to date. So I was definitely interested in dating Marlene, and she captivated my thoughts in many ways. And through a variety of circumstances, it was about 8 months before I was able to approach her. It wasn't my reticence, it was other constraints in the situation, but it was about 8 months before I could even approach her and tell her I was interested. And she somewhat reluctantly agreed to start dating because there was someone back in the States she was kind of interested in too, but she didn't want to be disobedient to God if that was how God was leading me. So it's like, yeah, I guess we could probably go out on a few dates. So we did that, and it became clear after 8 months of me, you know, figuring out what color the house was going to be and what the fence was going to look like and what we were going to name the kids and where we were going to live and what we were going to do. And after I had all that figured out, I actually started talking to her. And I realized that as much as I respected her, we were probably not a good match for each other. And I think she realized that pretty quickly as well. So after a few months, she asked, Arnold, would it be okay if we stopped dating? And I thought, yeah, that'd be great. And I actually was surprisingly happy when she asked if we could do that. Well, since then, I've been married many times, probably 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, but always only in my mind to other women I was interested in. Over the years, I have gotten to the point where, well, here I am, and I'm still not married. But somewhere in that process, I did come to a point of preference where I have very much seen the value of being single. For one thing, all my money is mine and nobody else is spending it, so that's pretty cool. But it does create a lot of financial flexibility. It also creates a lot of time flexibility. None of you have probably noticed this, but there are some weeks I'm the last person to leave here after the 20s. You don't notice it because you already left. But the point is, I don't have a wife or kids that I need to rush back to. And so that creates opportunity for me, for example, to have a house, a 5-bedroom house with 4 other guys living in the house, all of them in their 20s, Harrison being one. I've just blown your cover, sorry. It gives me the opportunity to do a lot of things, which we may or may not get into later, but I very much appreciate the value of singleness. Now, having said that, I really hate our topic tonight of recovering singleness, because I think a better topic would be revaluing singleness, that I think we don't value it in the same way that Scripture does, in the same way that Jesus did, and in the way that really would be appropriate for the opportunities that it does in fact create. So I hope we can talk some more about that.
Love that. Thank you for sharing. Jackie, would you share?
Yeah. So I've been single for a lot of decades also. Since I was born. I was born single, amazingly, just like you. When I was growing up, I had my whole life planned. I was going to get married and have 8 children. I had all 8 of them named. Had no one in mind, but, you know, this was like junior high, high school. I had a little card, had all their names on it. I have no idea what the names are now or where that card is. I threw it away long ago. I can say singleness was not a choice. It was not what I chose for my life. I always, still to this day, would love to be married. But I see great value in where God has me, where he's taken me. I did not become a believer until quite a few years after college. So I think what a disaster I could have had were I to have gotten married right out of college. Because I see that in a lot of my friends. Working here at the church, I'm not thankfully involved in the shepherding department. But I've been here long enough to have seen hard marriages. And I always say I would rather be single where I am today, knowing God, this is where God has me, than trying to be married when God doesn't want that for me. And in a bad marriage. So very thankful for that. I'm a huge introvert. If you didn't hear that, I'm a huge introvert. So I've never been one to be involved in singles groups. I got criticized about that a lot by friends and family. How could you ever meet someone if you don't go to all the singles groups? It's like, I'm not going to go, just not going to go. So that was one thing, you know, trying to get through that of coming to the place of truly believing, not that I don't need to be meeting people, and I do understand that, but that God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. And if he decides that that marriage is what he wants for me, then he will help that happen. He will make that happen. I need to be available to that, and I understand that, but I think that's my biggest learning through my whole singleness, is that that God is sovereign, and he has chosen this for me, which means it's the best that he has for me right now. I've had a lot of flexibility because I'm single. Flexibility for work, I'm way more available to my bosses, because I don't have a husband at home and family. But I think the hugest blessing to me has been being involved with friends as they get married and they have children. I get to go play with children all the time. And then I get to go home. You know, it's like I have a friend who was drowning after she had some children, and when her smallest were young, I just finally said, you know, like everybody always says, well, what can we do? Just let me know what I can do to help. And I finally called and I said, do you want me Tuesday night or Wednesday night? And she said, Tuesday night. So probably for almost 2 years now, I've been going to her home on Tuesday nights, playing with her kids, helping her with dinner, helping get the kids bathed and in bed. I'm having a blast. I was over there tonight for dinner before I came here. I'm hoping I'm not wearing any of it. Because you do sometimes after you leave. But I've done this for a lot of families through the years with my flexibility, being able to say, you know, calling somebody that I just know is at their wit's end and saying, can I just come tonight and play with your kids, and you escape. You two go out for dinner and then come back, and I'll clean up your dishes and bathe your kids and get them in bed and have a blast snuggling with them, and love walking in the church out here and some little one screaming Miss Jackie coming down the hall. So to me, that's been a huge blessing. When I introduce myself in certain things here at the church, they always, you know, want you to talk about your family. And so I say, they'll say, tell us about your children. And I say, well, I have a lot of children. I have none of my own. but I have a lot of children. So that's just been a huge blessing to me. What I found was I needed to be obedient to God and be invested in the ministry he calls me to, which has been the music ministry and children's ministry. So those are the areas where I served and still serve, and just find great joy in that. Perks. Let's see, I wrote down some perks because I wanted y'all to know some perks. I don't have to ask anyone about my spending. I can just spend. That's also a problem, a struggle, but my time is my own. I also, you know, I would just say, as you're single, find things you love to do and figure out how to do them. I love to travel. It's hard sometimes because when I want to travel, I have to find somebody else that wants to travel, and then we go. But I have a couple friends that we do that, and, you know, I get to do that because I'm single. I get to run off for a week and go play because I don't have a family at home. Some of the struggles is nobody asked me what I spend. So that's a huge issue. Overwhelmed sometimes making decisions because I have no one to really talk that through sometimes. So that just gets overwhelming when you think about the future. And, you know, I'm old. And so I'm going to retire, not tomorrow, but several years, quite a few years from now. But I've got to be planning for that. And that's overwhelming. As a single woman, to think I don't have somebody else giving me money to help with my retirement. It's all what I can do. So those are some of my struggles. One of the things recently, he told us to be vulnerable, so I'm going to be a little vulnerable. I grieved a long time ago not having a family, but I'm going to cry. Sorry. Recently, the grief is not becoming a grandmother. That one took me by surprise, y'all. Never expected it. And it's been a couple years, but of just seeing my friends become grandparents. And again, I've got lots of kids in my life, so I've got that, but they're not biological. And it's just another process of saying, God, you really do know what's best. You're sovereign. So, you know, I got to hold it like this again. But he does that for all of us. Married or single, there's always something he's asking you to do this about. That's, you know, it's just, and we keep doing this, and then he makes us do this, and then you do this, and this. So it's just this constant battle. And then the other thing, just being here at Perimeter, I'm so thankful that y'all have this and have the 20s. Perimeter's not known as a great singles church. I didn't come here for that. I came here because of the teaching. So stick where God has you, single or not. find the church he has for you and be there. And he will bless you. I'm blessed beyond measure for my life. So. Mm.
Thank you for sharing. Thanks for being vulnerable. Yeah. Thank you. I told them beforehand that I really thought this would be the best night of our series. Because from my perspective, no matter how good any of our talks were, or bad, maybe, but really, no matter how well we might do with teaching some subject, there's nothing more powerful than hearing about someone's story and God's work in the midst of that. And so, thank you. And thank you for sharing as an introvert as well. I know it's not maybe super easy to get up here. Tammy, you
this
said...
This is way easier than talking.
Is it? Okay. All right. You don't have to talk to anyone then. You said you're an introvert too.
I am.
So thank
Shocking.
You for coming up. Yeah.
I'm sure some think no, but...
Well, share with us a little bit about your story.
I thought we ran out of time, so no.
Oh, no. We've got time.
Okay. Well, it's funny that money's I've kind of laughed about that because you made me think, I'm like, I'm glad I don't have to talk to anybody about my money either. It is kind of fun, I'm just saying. So I think I'm going to start my story sort of backwards rather than the beginning. I'm going to start where we are right now and who I am. And as Garrett said, I've been on staff for a long time, over 20 years, and I directed Camp All American for 17 years. And so in my life, I've had, in fact, some of you, I look out and just great blessings in life on life with some of you out there. And I even see Jordan. I don't know where you are. I taught Jordan in second grade. So I actually, a couple years, taught at Perimeter School. But so I have, I'm different than y'all in the fact that I was married for 10 years. And then had a daughter, Maddie, who's here. And has been married, she's been married 3 years and will be 26 next week. And but I have been single since she was about 14 months old. And so that's a long time to be single. And I, like them, I never dreamed I would remain single. I mean, I, and to be honest, most of my friends thought I would never be single this long. And I think I want to share about where I am right now, and like I said, and go backwards, but I'm an artist. And so when I asked that they put one of the paintings that I've done, and I am attracted to pathways and roadways, and you'll learn why, I think, later. No artist ever plans why they paint what they paint, but this is what I'm attracted to. And often when you paint a road, there's sort of a vantage point. There's this very narrow beginning point, and then it widens out. And I really see my life in a very wide place right now, and such a beautiful place. And, you know, I'm an artist, and my daughter and I are opening our second boutique in downtown Duluth. Our opening weekend is April, if you want, April 1, if you want to stop by. But I, and as I said, I'm an artist. I've been blessed. I had no idea, and sold a couple of paintings the last week. And just the thought that anyone would be attracted to something that I've done has been amazing. And to you know, to have helped develop Camp All American to where it is now, and Kids Hope, and you know, just an, I have a wonderful son-in-law and got a new puppy. So my life is just in a really great place. And my daughter and I were talking, and she knows that still in my heart there's this desire to be married. And she said, "Mom, why do you want to get married? You know, and you've got all that you want." And I just said, "I don't know. I can't help it. This, you know, God's placed that into my heart." And just when I think I'm doing really well, I was in our department head meeting yesterday, and my boss, Chip Sweeney, was talking about we want to pray for one another regarding faith, personally and ministry-wise. And he said, "Where are you not thinking God can do something?" And personally, I'm like, why do you ask that question? Because I honestly sobbed with my little team right there, mostly men. I really don't think God can bring the right guy in my life, you know, and maybe you're in that place too, I don't know. But you know, when you think of the godly men, I counted off all the reasons why. How can this happen? I'm busy, you know, like Jackie, I don't go to singles things, I don't have time, you know. And I'm around the most godly men I know. You're probably in the area. And how can God bring somebody in my life that... So, I, you know, even though I'm in this very wide place in my life, how can the same thing be true that I have a deep need? And so, I don't know. You know, I'm just sharing my story. I don't have all the answers, but... I do know that God meets me in daily in a very real way. And what I wanted to just share some real things along the way, because I have dated often many different people. But, you know, my story in, you know, with different than them is that I had a daughter. And I was very cognizant of... not wanting to bring someone into her life that I just, you know, people in and out. So I would have a date or two, and I'm like, no. And then that's it. And that happened a lot. And, you know, I'm not sure. You know, you second guess. I mean, all of those guys are all married and, you know, have kids. And I see them in church and say, hey. And, you know, but I just choose to believe that God wanted me single. And because I'm at the wide road and I can look back, I can see, wow, could I have done Camp All American for 17 years and had been remarried, more children? I always wanted to have more children. There is absolutely no way. And Wood can't be where it is. I don't know. And I can see God's hand and in enabling me to focus on loving my daughter and ensuring that she's protected, and I could teach her the way I wanted to teach her. And were there hard times? Absolutely. I can think of Friday nights thinking, and by the way, I mean, there were guys that, one in particular that I was just, I think, in love with, and really, I'm an athlete, so he played tennis, I played tennis, golf, buckhead guy, never married, gorgeous. But what I found out, he didn't love Jesus the way I did. And he wanted to marry me. He wanted to be with me and Maddie. And that was probably harder to walk away from that than going through my divorce. Mm. And he's still never married. And so hard things. And those Friday nights, I would ask God, you know, how would you want me to spend this Friday night? And oftentimes I'd get a call from one of my girl counselors with camp or one of my friends and say, you want to have coffee? You want to have dinner? And so I would just choose to do the very next thing that God will give me to do. Mm. And sweet, rich times. And, you know, I look at Deborah back there, Peel, and just, you know, godly women that, you know, I've been able to spend time with, and I hope I've encouraged them along the way. But some of the hard things, going to church alone, you know, when Maddie was off in college or my mom had passed away, it's hard for me even now to go to church alone. You know, being a perimeter school parent as a single mom, in those years, I was the only one in every class. Every single class, there were seven sets of parents and then me. And, you know, every year, I promise you, every year I would pray, God, please, next year, let me not be the only one. And I always was. Always was. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. But, and I know some of my girls, you know, like, you know, we got to find someone for her, you know. I'm like, that. It's just the way it was. And just, you know, working through that all the time. I mentioned a couple of these. I think worrying about Maddie, you know, I think, you know, I always would go to church. I'd hear the statistics about single moms and their daughters or how their daughter's going to turn out or, you know, and I was just like, Lord, you know, help me to be wise in my decisions. Help us to, you know, avoid those issues. And of course, God had protected her and provided just an amazing, godly husband. So I'm very, very. Her wedding day was, you know, just. I mean, if I ever get remarried, I don't even think it would be as happy as the day she got married. So when things get hard, I would say, just as an advice, I don't know if you're going to go on to this, but find someone that you can help or encourage that really turned things around for me on a daily basis. If I just was getting so low or so discouraged, just, you know, find somebody. Call a friend, pick up your Bible, pray, you know, just dive in. You know, the truth will set you free and encourage you. sometimes I just had to go do something. I mean, I don't know, go to the grocery store, go to TJ Maxx, just get in the car, go do something, cry if you need to. I have had good cries. And then some of the things that helped me realize is that singleness is not something to solve. I think we make mistakes if we begin to think, I've got to get out of this somehow, you know, I got to get out of this group. Are you thinking, man, I hated coming to what, you know, whatever your group is called here, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, wow, I don't want to come to this group, you know, I can't wait till I'm married and I don't have to come. You know, I think that I saw a lot of girlfriends through this process just could not stand to be single. And, you know, praise God, they some married, but some made some really bad choices. And it's not something to solve. It's not a problem. I think the other big thing is focus on your calling and your spiritual gifting and begin to apply that. And the years will, you know, it won't, I mean, I can't believe that I've been single that many years, because honestly, I've just been really busy with ministry and really busy getting at what I felt like God wanted me to do. And how cool is that? It's exciting. And I don't know the mystery of how exciting it is and yet still want to be married. I don't know how that thing works, but the two can be true at the same time. Mm. Don't compromise, cry and cry more, and pray. And so when you go back to the very narrow place, and when my daughter was 14 months old and we were left alone by a PCA deacon, you know, the Lord gave me this verse, and it's been so true, and it's so strange that this is what I paint now, but Isaiah 43:19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert." And I think some versions say pathways or roadways in the wilderness. And, you know, I just have seen how God has done a new thing, and he makes a way. Mm. When you don't feel like there's a way. So I just wanted to encourage you, if you're at the very point there where you're just like, I have no idea how God's going to make a way, or you're in that very wide place, you know, he is faithful, and he is really, the only way I can describe it is he just delights in us, and he makes me smile in how detailed he is with every little aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. And has been, so.
That's sweet. Thank you for sharing. And if I could just
jump in, I love what both of you have said about just getting on with life and getting on with ministry. Caleb said, in quoting somebody else last week, what I wrote down anyway is, I don't want to be flexible for the kingdom of God. I want to be married. And my own thought on that would be, and then what? Mm. So we so easily see marriage as a goal, as the end point, but then what? And the great commission that Jesus gave in Matthew 28 was for all his believers to go and make disciples, and to teach them to obey him, to teach others how to learn to be followers of Jesus. And so whether we're single or married, we have that commission. If we're going to be married in a few months, we have that commission today. If we're never going to be married, we have that commission. And after you're married, you have that commission. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really a false approach that we often take of thinking my life will start on the day I get married. Mm. And then I will start thinking about what I'm going to do with my life. Mm-hmm. And so I love how you two have brought that out.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Thank you all for sharing. Just before, I'm going to ask you a few questions, but you really honor us by coming and sharing. And again, I know it can be kind of hard to bare your soul in front of 100 of your closest friends. But I'm just really thankful for each one of you. And for each one of the ways, you know, I wrote some things down, obviously wrote some before, but just as you were sharing and just things that stuck out to me, each one of you shared a little bit about how God has given you freedom in the midst of this. And specifically, he's moved you toward ministering to others, just as you were talking about. And each one of you have had really unique ministries. You've been a starter of ministries. You've had a unique way of being able to pour into young men's lives in particular through your house and discipleship groups, et cetera. You've served others so faithful. And you may not realize this, but Jackie's a worship leader. You might not see her in Laura's spot on the stage, but I used to be one of the worship leaders on the stage here. I sent you an email one time. I don't know if you remember this, but sometimes, especially in that big old auditorium, it's hard to be up there singing, y'all. And I would look for people. And Jackie led me in worship when I was leading everybody else in worship. So you've had a unique ministry in a variety of ways, and that's one that touched me. So I love how y'all each brought that out. Let me ask you this. We're already a little bit over our usual time, so we'll probably go a little bit longer. If you need to bolt, you do your thing. You do you, boo-boo. All right.
You pay overtime, right?
Yeah, I definitely pay overtime. So tell me about this. Just some of the things that, you know, we all struggle with is just the lies that the enemy whispers in our ear, right? It doesn't matter what part of life we're in or calling or whatever. We have an enemy of our souls, y'all, who's after us. And so we know specifically he's going to go after any part of our lives that maybe he senses is, you know, weakness for us or whatever. What are some of the ways that the enemy has whispered lies to you about maybe singleness in particular? Is that question making sense?
Yeah, I think one for me, and I thought not specifically about that, but that I don't belong has been one. And one of my struggles is as I see couples, especially as I get older and so many of my friends are couples, how they will do things, but they don't think to invite me to do those things because I'm a single and they're couples. So I think that's been my biggest, the biggest lie. Well, one of the biggest lies was that you don't belong because you're single. And combating that with, I do have a community of people and making my needs known, you know, I say, hey, can I go? Yeah. or something. So I think that's been one of my big ones to struggle with.
I think one could be that you're not married because there's something wrong with you. Well, maybe that's not a lie, because there is something wrong with me. There are actually quite a few things wrong with me.
Not more than me.
But that's the point. Compared with Garrett, I'm great. So, no, the real point is there's something wrong with all of us. And whether you're married or not married, that is not a reflection on how okay you are or are not. And in the case of those of us who are single, you know, it's interesting how there are so many passages of Scripture that never get preached, especially not at weddings. So in Matthew 19, where you know, Jesus gives a really tough teaching on marriage and says, you know, divorce, it's a bad thing and you're in big trouble. And the disciples said, well, if that's the case, then nobody should get married. And Jesus said, well, yep. In fact, if you can accept that, you should. And, you know, some people are born eunuchs. And so maybe some people are born in a situation or a state where they're not going to be capable of being married, or where it's just not realistic for some reason. Other people are made eunuchs, and I don't think that happens too much in our culture, unless it's through a later disease that comes as life progresses. And then he said, and some choose to be eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And those who can accept this should accept it. I am still waiting to hear that preached at a wedding. It never happens. I never hear, well, you've chosen second best, but it's okay, because Paul says it's okay to get married if you really need to, but if you can't choose the best thing of
singleness is a gift.
Yeah, yeah, well, it is, but it's a gift that a lot of people just don't want to open. Or would like to take back in exchange for something else. So I think, you know, in terms of the lies that get presented, it's like marriage is the better thing. Marriage is the thing you aspire to. Mm. And if you kind of fail in life, then you end up being single, and then you just make the most of it. And then you try to recover from singleness. And so that's why I'm arguing. I think we need to revalue mm-hmm. singleness.
That's good.
I have some.
Come on.
They're kind of vulnerable. Mm. Well, I think one is, for me, it's like, wow, you know, should I have said yes, like four or five down the road? You know, the ones I dated. I'm like, damn, well, did I mess up? You know, should I have given that more time? And, I mean, I know the truth, but, you know, they're married, they have kids, they're, you know, here I am. So that, and then, you know the lies, oh, if I just go hang out at this Starbucks, maybe I'll meet the right person, or if I hang out here, if I do this, or, you know, if you lose the 15 pounds or the whatever, or 10 pounds or whatever it is at the time, or, you know, I think, and then lastly, I think, you know, how awful it might be to die and not feel like you were really loved. I mean, okay, that was, everyone got quiet, but I mean, I've thought of that, you know, and not that, I could go through the truth on that, but that's a lie. Mm-hmm. So I think thinking through, or that you're not somebody's special one, I think those are lies that just, you know, stir up things in our hearts and cause us to do things that, you know, like a spinning wheel, and it's not healthy. So.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those as well. By the way, I, if you hang out at this Starbucks over, you will only meet people that work at Perimeter.
Yeah.
Don't go to that one.
Can I mention another lie? Because there are so many.
Come on, bring the lies. Bring the lies.
It's an almost endless supply. But I think another one, especially a year or so ago, it seemed like there were a lot of articles that were showing up about why people should get married at a young age. And the presumption was that you will not be able to maintain sexual purity if you stay single. So you better go ahead and get married and do it as soon as possible, because otherwise you're going to have a lot you need to repent for. And those articles that were appearing just really annoyed me because none of them ever talked about 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul talked about, you know, whatever it was, whatever his thorn in the flesh was, and whatever was bothering him. And God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul says, "Okay, I'll boast in my weakness, because when I'm weak, then he is strong." Mm. And so I would love to see more articles that say, yeah, it's a challenge. You know, sexual purity is not easy, and you know, certainly in the age of the internet, we know what challenges that presents as well. But God's grace is sufficient, and so if God says stay single till you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 110, then he will provide the ability that we need, and we can count on him for that.
Mm-hmm. Preach. That's good stuff.
I think I just did.
Yeah, you did. You need a little tambourine or something. Tell me this, and you've touched on these a little bit, but just as you're doing battle with these lies, what are some things that have been helpful for you, that have helped you to go to 2 Corinthians 12 maybe? Or, yeah, feel free, anybody who wants to dive in on that.
I heard friends mentioned, mm-hmm. and friends is a difficult proposition when you're single, although I was just reading an article in the Boston Globe earlier today. It's buried here somewhere under my leg, which was fascinating. It's called "The Biggest Threat Facing Middle-Aged Men Isn't Smoking or Obesity, It's Loneliness." And this is written by a 40-year-old guy with preschoolers, talking about how when you get married and have young kids, all your other friendships tend to drop off because all the time you have in the world is spent with your spouse and your kids. And him realizing that he needs to make an effort to maintain relationships. So whether you're married or single, having healthy relationships with people of the same sex is going to be a challenge. It's a challenge for different reasons. So finding and latching on to people you can be friends with for many years, over several years, Matt Heffner is one of those for me. He is also, I'm turning him into one of those travel partners that you were talking about or trying to. Matt always thought if you went on vacation, it had to be a mission trip and nothing else quite qualified. I've tried to expand his horizons a little bit. I guess we changed the picture. But friendship and community, you know, having people, whether it's a discipleship group or some other group of people you can be close with and be honest with and who will ideally ask you some difficult questions. And as I get older, and especially being an elder in the church, it's like there aren't that many people who are really going to challenge me. They just assume that everything is fine because I'm so good-looking and so well-mannered. And they don't quite realize that I have some struggles, too. So, you know, the beauty of being, say, in a discipleship group with Harrison and some other guys is that we can talk about some of these things, and that's very helpful to me. But the friendships kind of churn through a little bit. And as that happens, you know, finding a few along the way that you can hold on to and have over many years becomes extremely valuable.
I think, you know, just Mary Indy talks about this all the time, too, is just right thinking and know, consider, present. I mean, you know, daily, what is the truth? You know, what is the truth about who I am in Christ? And you know, and then really, I mean, for me, it's been knowing what my mission is and what I'm called to do. Because I, you know, I really just don't have a lot of time to be, you know, running after things that I know aren't, you know, what God has for me. And it's okay to be sad, and you know, it's okay to be, you know, like I said, even cry. A good cry is fine, you know, no one wants to be lonely. And but you know, the Lord's been so faithful to put stuff in front of me almost all the time, and so, you know, it's rich, you know, it can be a very rich life. And you know, but there's still hard things, you know, hard to walk in church by yourself, you know, I'm looking at a couple I've known for 25 years, you know, and I could go up and sit with them, but, you know, you feel like a fifth wheel sometimes. And, you know, I'm 50, I don't even know how old I am, 55, I think. And, you know, I should not feel like a fifth wheel, but you do. And sometimes I think perimeter's not the safest place for singles, you know, it's really couple driven. I hope we continue to change that.
Let me butt in on that for just a second. By the way, I heard tell that some of y'all don't go to church together, that you just show up. I've heard from a few different people, like they were just kind of like showing up and not really sure where to go. Look around, there are a few people here. It might not be thousands, but yeah, you're crazy if you're not calling each other and saying, hey, I'm sitting here, sit with me. Like, you've at least got a few people here. You've got one another that I would say, man, do the simple things at least to begin community. You might not be best friends from sitting together at church, but go to church together. You were going to say something. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I think the friends, being willing to admit to somebody else that you're hurting. Which is not fun for anybody, But to say, you know, man, calling friends saying, "I'm gonna, will you meet me at church tomorrow?" Yeah. Hmm. Some Sundays I'm great. I can walk in and talk to 14 people. That's about my limit. And go find somebody to sit with. Some weeks it's like it's all I can do. Mm-hmm. And so those are the weeks I need to call somebody and say, hey, you know, married friend, single friend, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
My friends. I also have a lie notebook or a truth notebook. Mm-hmm. And so I have my lies, the ones that there's a lot of them, ones that recur a lot, mm-hmm. And scripture truth to battle those. And so on days when I'm just, it's like I can't fight it anymore in my head, mm-hmm. I can pull that out and say, okay, here's the truth. And I can read that scripture over myself and say, this is the truth.
Mm.
God said it, I'm going to believe it. I don't feel it today, but I'm going to believe it.
That's good. Yeah, y'all have echoed all sort of the same thing of kind of coming back to you, God's truth. And in our circles in Reformed Presbyterian world, you know, you hear this phrase a lot. If you haven't, you will. Preach the gospel to yourself. I'm kind of I just beat the same drum over and over. You'll hear me say a lot of the same things over and over again. And one thing, especially early on in my walk, I couldn't preach the gospel to myself. Like, I needed people around me to actually speak that truth into my life. And so whether that was a discipleship group, and then as I became a discipleship leader, came on ministry staff, I had to find a group of guys. There's one guy I meet with monthly, just so he knows everything about me and can speak truth into my life. Because even though I go to it frequently, I need that community speaking in my life as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think it's finding those friends and mm-hmm. and being willing to be vulnerable and asking them to mm-hmm. speak truth, giving them permission to speak truth to you when you're spewing lies, which you do. So,
and you have to fight for it. Yeah. I'm sure each of you experienced that, and I've experienced that whether single or married. You sort of have to fight for that in your life.
And to that, I would add, find some promises from God that you can rely on and claim. So, one that I appreciate is Isaiah 46:4, I think it is, where God says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I have made you, and I will sustain you."
Mm-hmm.
And I have made you, so that means from the very beginning I was there, I will sustain you to your old age and gray hairs. So we've talked about getting old, being alone, what does that look like, how's that going to play out, who's going to manage my money, who's going to take care of my health needs. I don't know those things. I wonder about those things. I'm concerned about those things. But I've got to rely upon God's promise that to my old age, to my gray, I'm already at the gray hairs, but I'm not at the old age yet, that He has made me and He will sustain me.
Mm-hmm. I honestly have so many more questions that I would love to ask you. We're closing in on 9, though, so I guess we should probably wrap. They're going to stick around, though. If y'all have any questions, I know they'd love to hang out and talk a little more, so if you'd like to. You know, there are just a couple things that stuck out to me that I wanted to, that we've sort of underlined already, but I'd love to sort of leave you on this note. We've talked about these things as we've gone along in the last few weeks. You know, we started out thinking more in terms of just overall, like, how does God define you? How does God value you? What's God think about your past, whether it was stellar and you did everything right, or you've got a whole lot of mess ups like me. You know, I'd love to leave you with this. You're his. And so you are valuable. You're bought with His blood. You are His. And so no matter where you've been, no matter how bad or how good, your relationship status is not your value. He is your value. Arnold touched on this as well. Your relationship status is not a punishment. It is not. God has called you here for a time, whatever that might look like, whether that is for the rest of this life on this earth or not, it's still for a time. You will be with him.
And when you are, you'll be single again.
That's right. Yeah, we all get to be single and hang out together. You know, no matter what your current status is, no matter what your future prospects are, a relationship status cannot be your beginning either, right? It's not the point where life begins. it's not the end that you're living for, and it can't be your beginning. A relationship status cannot be a purpose either. Each one of them have touched on this in unique and powerful ways, I think, of how God's calling and God's purpose in their lives was uniquely brought out by this time of singleness. He has called you wherever you are, for however long it might be, he's called you right where you are, right now, at least. And that's because you are his. You're his. And so he's called you here for a unique purpose, and he has called you to him. Don't ever lose that in all these talks about calling and purpose and singleness and dating and marriage and whatever else. What are you called to at the end of the day? Jesus Christ. You are his, and so you are called to him. And it might be in singleness right now. It might be in marriage at some point. It might be in the wake of divorce. It might be as a parent. Whatever that looks like, you're called to him ultimately. And so you're called uniquely to his mission. I'm so glad you drew that out this evening, that we are called to follow him. We're called to take the gospel wherever we are, in our work, in our relationships, in our families, in our ministries. So thank you so much for being here with us tonight. This has been such a privilege. Yeah, absolutely.